Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
Itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Greetings and welcome everyone to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And you know, it is my honor to be your hostess tonight. And I get so excited every Tuesday to present this show because I have some of the most incredible, remarkable talents around in the universe that agree to appear on the show with us to share of their knowledge and their expertise and their passion. So just hang on tight because the night is the same as what we're always done. So thank you for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness. I'm glad that you chose to join in today with us. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And as we do each week and every day, possibly, we give thanks to the ancestors for being with us always and especially on Tuesdays because we discuss issues that are not ordinarily talked about in an open setting. So we know that our ancestors are always protecting us and we stand on the shoulders for strength. And we trust that the ancestors got us. They got our back, our front, our top, and our bottom. And so we just acknowledge that ancestral energy because we know that's our strength. And so, ancestors, we love you now, and we love you forever. Ashe, ashe. And so it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So today's show is simply called Iman, Inner City Muslim Network. Okay, let me try that one again. I'm so excited with these individuals that are coming on. The name of the organization is Iman, Inner City Muslim Action Network. And so this is some of the most powerful, I call them young people, but they told me that it's intergenerational, and I love that even better because it implies that people come together to work together. So, but this organization, I actually had a chance to meet two other representatives back in April, and I was just so impressed with the work that they're doing. And so we're going to hear from some of the team members tonight. I know particularly we have Amira with us, and she's just an awesome, awesome, creative, dedicated, and purpose-driven young lady. And so we'll see who all will join us tonight. But that is what we've got going tonight with the Iman, Inner City Muslim Action Network. I got it all out that time. All right, so audience, you know you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome. And every voice will be heard. We would ask that once your line is open for you to be a part of the show, you would mute your phone when you're not speaking so that there's no background noise distraction, which would interfere with the quality of the playback. So the number here for the show to call in is 516 931-9819. And you would just push 1 on the dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. And, again, you're always welcome to go back and listen to any of the rebroadcasts or the replays. And they can be found at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. Just remember the D in Rogers. And so thank you for being with us once again. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. So I'm going to sneak us a little music in here to get ourselves anchored a little bit, and then we'll be right back. We're going to bring on Imam and talk with them about the incredible, incredible work that they're doing, not just in Atlanta, but I'm not going to spoil that. I'm going to let our guests explain that to us. We'll be right back. Some of the younger ones may not know that's The Impressions, and that song was made back in 1967, but it's exemplary of the work that's being done by a man here in the Atlanta area. And I want to bring on one of the major team players, team leaders, team participants. I'm not sure exactly what to call her because she's a ball of fire, man. She'd be right in there making things happen. And it is my honor indeed to bring her on as a guest. Miss Amira, sister, are you with us?
Yes, Sister Sandy, can you hear me all right?
I can. You're perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk with the audience today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to connect and talk about the work that we do in Atlanta and in Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago, right, right. You know, back in April, I was at one of a community meeting that I went, and I met Aziza.
Yeah.
And Caldon. Caldon,
yeah.
How you pronounce it. Yeah, yeah. So, and I was so impressed with, you know, what they were telling me about the work that you guys were doing, and you've been in business for like 20 years and things like that. And then I get over and have an opportunity to meet you face to face at your location on Ralph David Abernathy, and you guys are just incredible over there and the work that you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, definitely, you know, it takes a full team of people to get everything done. And so I'm grateful to, you know, be on tonight to speak on the behalf of many, because it's definitely collective work, collective efforts. I've been working in the Atlanta space for, as a community organizer formerly for a couple of years, almost a couple of years now. Iman in Atlanta and in Chicago in the past, and so just grateful for the work that has taken place and the community connections, and so definitely I look forward to just talking more about the work that we've done and a little bit more about our history. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about you, and you say you've been there for a short period of time, and you're relatively a young person. So how did you get involved? How did you get involved, or, you know, what was the driving force for you to want to do work to help people, to improve the environment through the people that are in that environment? How did that all come about for you?
Definitely, yeah. So I'm a soon-to-be graduate of Georgia State University, finishing my degree in public health. Yes, home stretch. And although I've been an undergrad for some time past that four-year mark, but it's all been to my benefit, which I'm grateful for the Creator for that journey and that process. Because within it, I was able to connect with Iman in an organizing space. But as many organizers will tell you, we didn't start out naturally titling ourselves as organizers. It was rather a position or an opportunity that came because we were interested in uplifting and empowering the community. And one of those elements that I gathered from my experience in public health was just that, you know, and being a you know, triple minority, intersectional person, and, you know, coming from historically marginalized communities, has been, you know, don't look for a savior, but rather support and uplift yourself and support and uplift the communities around you. And, you know, really to seek that divine support and that divine guidance, and to rely on those who have, you know, as you gave the blessing in the beginning, those who've come before us, our ancestors as well. And so taking all of those factors into consideration, that kind of gave me the push and the drive to say, you know, how can I help people to help themselves, or how can I give them the resources to empower themselves? And as the adage says, you know, if you give, bring a man water, he'll drink for a day, but if you teach him how to build his own well, he'll have water for generations. And so it's kind of that same idea and understanding of, for me, how can I support communities to uplift ourselves? Because I feel like we know our challenges best. We're the best reporters and understanders of our challenges. And so within that, we understand our solutions as well. It's just sometimes we don't have the resources, the time, or just the space to get to it and to make things happen. And so with my time as an organizer at Iman, and just even my volunteer experience before working with underserved youth and, you know, education system in Atlanta, working with Muslim women organizations, and, you know, dealing with inter and external ostracization and all of those spaces, I really was driven to say, you know, we know our problems, but, and we also know how we can grow and how we can support ourselves. So let's make space, you know, for us to be fully present, to live our whole lives. And I can't solve your problem better than you can, but I can help you get there. And so that's kind of the onus in which I approach organizing, is I'm not the one, I'm not the divine, I don't have all the answers, but I'll be there to support you to get a step closer or to make things easier if I see that I have some power to move things around. And so that's a little bit about how I kind of got into organizing and into that role and into the position as an organizer with Iman.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense to me, them being so wise as to put you in that position, because it takes everything that you were talking about for the community to uplift and for you to be a younger person and have that knowledge about a person has their own answers within them, just like the community has their own answers within them. That puts you so much further ahead, because a lot of individuals and a lot of organizations think that they have all the answers for everything, you know, so
right.
Just follow it the way that I've written it and you'll be okay, you know, and it doesn't take anything into consideration of what a person's real life is like. So I applaud you for having that sensitivity to human beings, to know that there is no one pat set answer that's going to cure and heal it all. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that affirmation. And I honestly, you know, as you said, I'm on the younger side of the spectrum. I haven't had as many solar returns as some folks just yet, but I really, you know, have to give acknowledgement and gratitude and some praise to, you know, my community members and the pioneers and elders who have bestowed some of that wisdom onto me, you know, from my sister and my grandmother and former advisors and mentors, as well as organizers who've been doing this, you know, for decades, who have said it's an ongoing battle, and it's not going to be all solved in one generation. So that gives some reprieve and some encouragement, you know, to just keep going. Yeah.
Well, and I laugh only because, and my brother reminded me the other day, William Saphir, he reminded me the other day that I actually started in this community development, empowerment, being an activist and all of that at the age of 10. So I almost have like 60 years in, and so I was laughing when you said about other people. I believe you're born with that instinct and that passion to be of service, and it never goes away. You know, you can try, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can be like,
yeah.
Well, no, let me go get a 9-to-5 and I'm going to be okay. Let me just work for somebody else. But you never, you know, it's always a part of you. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And that's a really beautiful and powerful point, because sometimes, you know, folks that I've encountered, I've worked with in community, they are naturally organizers themselves, but they may not be in association with a specific organization. They may say, well, I haven't done X, Y, and Z. I haven't earned that title or this title. And I just tell them it's really about your spirit, your energy, and how you view how you can support the community, and knowing that you are part of that process as well. And it's, you know, as you said, sometimes we're organizing, understanding that we're still living in a society that it presents challenges, and so sometimes you do have to have that 9-to-5 job and organize, or you know, get your degree and organize. I feel like it's definitely something, as you share, that it's in your spirit, and it's the thing of you have to be agitated and be willing to agitate folks to encourage them to change. And that's something that can happen in so many spaces. That's why we have unions. Folks working 9-to-5 saying something's not right in this hourly process that we're working here. Let's get together and change it. So I say to anyone, you can be an organizer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So true, so true. But you got to have a soul for it because, you know, people will follow the leaders that really have the passion. And you don't have to tell people you have passion. People feel it. And so you have the passion. And I'm always impressed and I'm an observer of people, too. And so when I came over to the building on that one Thursday, and Amir was going to tell you about the Thursday night that I'm talking about, the Thursday night events. But I was there and very welcoming. And, you know, as a new person coming in, you made sure that, you know, if I had any questions or if I needed anything, that everything was taken care of. But you also, at the same time, was so professional and so organized to make sure that the purpose of people coming together were met, you know. So it's okay to laugh and get off a little bit, but, you know, we're here for a purpose and we're going to satisfy that purpose. And that was really important to me because a lot of times when we go to meetings, quote unquote, you know, time is not really valued from the sense of staying on point with what the topic and what the intentions are of the evening. And so I just, you know, I noticed that about you, though. You know, you're a very focused individual that makes sure things get done, and that's a beautiful sign of a leader. And so you are that without a question.
Thank you. I received that, and I appreciate the support and the affirmation. Thank you so much. Just, you know, I couldn't do, you know, Power Hour without working together with my co-organizers at Iman, and, you know, our as you said, with time, it's so important, and so things. So much is happening, you know, life, the world, policy, it's changing rapidly. And so we really do value being grounded and being centered and saying, you know, there are so many places and spaces to be in Atlanta and in Georgia. If you want to have entertainment, if you want to talk, if you want to, you know, focus on other things, but we're here to organize for social change. We're here to empower each other. And just making sure that our intentions are clear about that, because there are so many things that are in opposition to us that we don't have. We have the time to enjoy ourselves, but also the time to work as well. And so trying to strike that balance in that space is really important for us, for folks to know that, you know, our Power Hour space is a safe space, but it's also a space where within us saying we can be ourselves collectively, we can also work together collectively, definitely. So,
Yeah. Well, tell the audience about the Power Hour, and we can back up and talk about the program. But since we're already there, we might as well explain what it is.
Sure. So, Grassroots Power Hour is our safe community space where we come together and organize for change. And so Grassroots Power Hour takes place in Chicago and in Atlanta, although both cities kind of have their own schedule based off of the vibe and the flow of the community, just wanting to be supportive of, you know, where the community is at. And so you might experience arts and culture-based activities, organizing activities, other activities related to our other programming within health and wellness. And for Atlanta, for this past year, we've held Grassroots Power Hour every Thursday throughout the year. And so it's usually about, we try to keep it at an hour. So we're intent on the Power Hour portion of Grassroots. But as the first part of the name reads, Grassroots is very much so at a human-to-human, one-to-one, person-to-person connection level. What is an issue that we find in our community that we want to change or work towards together? And how can we, in that space, hold space for each other to share about our experiences with whatever that issue is? And how can we together find a solution? And so, excuse me, I emphasized at the beginning about it being a safe space. because oftentimes people do not have spaces to go to talk about those issues that are social issues that are bothersome to them. And so just for an example, we've had a number of sessions talking about different experiences of mental health. And so one thing that we like to implement in those spaces is safe space rules, and just letting folks know that, you know, when you're here, you can be vulnerable, and we're going to honor and value that vulnerability, and we're also going to use it together to say, I want to do something about this. I want to break the stigma of mental illness in my community. I want to talk about how we can increase our accessibility and our awareness to resources to support our mental well-being. And so that's kind of the focus for Grassroots Power Hour. Now, a few topics that we focused on in the past, you know, overall include health and wellness and criminal justice reform. And those have kind of been our longstanding themes of our campaigns throughout this year and parts of 2018. And so the content as well may change or shift. So last week we focused on composting, and that's part of our health and wellness. And really the bigger picture is, let's focus on, you know, sovereignty in our community. And I don't want to get too far into that conversation, but personal sovereignty and autonomy in communities and as a way to fight back against development and gentrification is its whole own topic. But we'll find that core issue and say, let's get laser focused. Let's find something that we can kind of take back and use to empower ourselves. That's not only beneficial for us individually, but collectively. So we focused on composting. And so this Thursday, which is actually our final Grassroots Power Hour for 2019, we will return in 2020. We're going to be focusing on reflecting on our year of organizing this thus far, what we've done. And we'll be having a painting session with one of Iman's Sacred Cipher creative artist, Kelly Crosby, and it'll be a reflective painting session that she'll lead, and we'll all be painting and just using that as a way of saying, you know, this is a form of art therapy, a way for us to connect and reflect on our organizing work. And that's something that's really important, even within the Grassroots Power Hour space, is we're not only talking about how we're affected by the issues, but we're also nurturing ourselves as we work through them. And because organizers, people, advocates, people who just want to change things, we can get tired, and rightly so, because it is a battle. So we want to have Power Hour as a space to not only be vulnerable, to organize for change, and to nurture ourselves so that we can continue the work. And that may come out through artistic expression. So I'm just grateful that we've been able to continue throughout this year and that you were able to attend. And I enjoyed our sessions when you were there.
I've got to come back.
Yes, I hope you're able to come this Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you, but you know what I like, what I appreciate most about that Power Hour, the Grassroots Power Hour, is that the community members are invited and very much welcomed and feel a part of the whole process. So it's not like, oh, I'm new, so I got to sit over here and try and figure out what's going on. But that the organization, the leaders there at Iman, they invite people in. And so we just melt in. And it's not like you're an outsider, but your voice is just as important as people that, you know, are members of the organization or, you know, staff or what have you. But everybody is equally valued as far as being heard. And that's a tremendous asset. And people are not so most organizations would not necessarily want to hear unless, you know, there's a specific time frame just for new people to a program or something like that. So to have people feel on equal grounds with everybody else is really a tremendous achievement. And I can see that being a great part of your of your success as you guys go forward, because that's just so, so important. And that being and with that also serving as a safe place, because a lot of times, you know, we can be out the box with the things that we think and have no place to really voice what we honestly feel is going on within our communities or within our homes or, you know, in the educational system or any of that, especially with so many of the larger cities going through the gentrification and things like that. So you guys are just truly doing a fabulous job over there.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. And you know, with community, it's, you know, as I was saying earlier, it's about showing up and saying, hey, this is a space for you to, for us to work together, for you to feel supported. And part of that is, you know, as an organizer, is just kind of like laying the groundwork for that space, but then stepping back and letting people naturally flow and feel comforted and have that space to speak up. And I feel like when people are new to a space or new to an environment, you know, one of the worst things we can do is overwhelm them with what we think they should do. Sometimes it's like, mm-hmm. let me greet you, let me be present, and let's just connect human to human. Where are you right now in your journey? Where am I in my journey? And then we can get into the particulars of what we can do, but sometimes it's just about letting people breathe, just be present.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like sometimes we don't have those spaces now to just breathe and be present. So I hope and pray that Power Hour continues to be one of those spaces.
Me too. Me too. So tell us what else you have. I know you guys have the reentry program, and I know I saw some incredible young men over on the day that I came. And excuse me, audience, I've only been there one time, although I get the weekly email to remind me about the meeting. It just seems like once I come in, I need to just stay out on Thursday nights, and I haven't done it yet. So, but it is such a warm and welcoming facility. Tell us a little bit more about the your Green Reentry Program.
Yes, definitely. So, Green Reentry Program, we have. Has been around in Atlanta pretty much since the onus of Iman Atlanta starting in 2016. And it's a program to support and uplift and provide training and skills to men who are formerly incarcerated and who are just looking to, you know, really move forward in their life. And as many of you all might know, if you've experienced incarceration at any level, what comes with that after is multiple levels of social disenfranchisement. And so challenges with finding a job, challenges with stable housing, and the list goes on. And so with Green Reentry, the program is to support returning citizens and to say, you know, we're here to support you to reassimilate, reintegrate back into your communities. And one of the things, the reason why that's so valuable is just the fact that, you know, 93% of folks who experience incarceration and return are going to return home. So it's kind of like, you know, we all may know our neighbor or cousin or a friend who has experienced incarceration and they returned. And, you know, life in the world changed and society changed around them. But they are still part of our community. They're still part of our networks, our families, and friendships. And so it's about how can we support them and help them to empower themselves, just as we do within our grassroots Power Hour space. And so with Green Reentry, in the past we've had, months long to about, I think our last cohort we graduated was about a 6-month program where they learned different life skills, trade skills, from construction to plumbing to carpentry, just, you know, definitely hard skills that from that program and from the training that they received along with life skills, they're able to start their business. And within this past cohort that we graduated in July, it's our, actually our fourth one, everyone who graduated graduated with their own LLC. So they're all entrepreneurs and business
owners.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Yes. And so that's, for us, it's about, you know, going back to that same idea. How can we help people to empower themselves? And, you know, we can give you the skills and we can give you the training, but then it's, you know, let's take it to the next level. And so that has been the focus of Green Reentry over the past few years. And like I said, we graduated our fourth cohort, and they have participated in Grassroots Power Hour as well. So I'm grateful. I work within the organizing space, but part of that is criminal justice reform, ergo Green Reentry. And so I'm just amazed at the organizers that I've seen within Green Reentry who have supported us in terms of legislation and policy. And it kind of goes back to that model as I was saying earlier, of people know their own issues and they know their own solutions. And so not only is Green Reentry and our cohort members, you know, learning life skills and trade skills and carpentry, plumbing, and electricity, and all of that, HVAC, they're also going to the Capitol and working with legislators to rewrite legislation to bring dignity for incarcerated people, working to change policies that, you know, cause preemptive prosecution. So just the list goes on of the work that they're doing within that space. And so we are actually continuing to take applications for our 2020 cohort.
Okay.
And so that information can be found on our Facebook page. And I'll be sure to share that information. But if you all look up Inner City Muslim Action Network or IMAN, I-M-A-N, Atlanta, on Facebook, you should be able to find our application, and I'll be sure to continue to share that information after. But definitely, we're continuing to look to support men who have returned home and are looking to, you know, continue on, uplift and empower themselves and go from there. Yeah.
Well, that's excellent. Excellent. It's so important, and I've had guests that come on at several different times to come in and talk about that process, because for me personally, the thought or the consciousness was not necessarily there about what we what is the best way to support a returning citizen. It just, you know, and so I've been doing a lot of education around that this year with the different guests I've had, ex-felons, they also call themselves ex-cons, mothers of incarcerated individuals, and people that have different type of programs. But I like this Green Reentry, where the individuals actually come out with owning their own business. I think that's incredible. That is wonderful.
Yes, definitely. Go ahead.
I was just
going to
say, how long is the program?
Yeah, so it's varied in length in the past as we've grown our cohort and tried to assess the best way that we could support them. But, you know, usually we run between 6 months to a year. And so with our last cohort, it was 6 months, January through June and July. And within that time period, they're able to learn all of those skills that I listed earlier, in addition to getting their LLC. And we also hosted a job fair, so they were able to connect with employers within the field, employers who are supportive of people who have experienced incarceration, and just looking at, you know, how can we continue to uplift you and support you in your process of returning home. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I actually have a co-host tonight, and William Saphir is with us tonight, and he's been a guest or a participant with Imam for quite a number of weeks, a lot more than me anyway. So, Brother Saphir?
Yes. Amir, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. It's good to hear your voice. We miss you in Cairo space. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to share from a level of a participant, and also one that who's extremely, you know, grateful for the work that's going on. Like Sandy mentioned, you know, she started out when she was 10, I guess I was about 12, serving in the community, working in a level of, we didn't know if we were organizing or transforming. All we knew was that we didn't like a lot of the things that was going on, a lot of conditions that we were faced with, the oppressive circumstances in Southern California and South Central Los Angeles and Watts in particular. But when we started responding to what we didn't like, to what we didn't want in our life, then we didn't know. We were very innocent, and we didn't know that we didn't know. And didn't know that we could accomplish what we eventually did, you know, by actually making a lot of strides. So, as you know, a couple of children in a very oppressive environment like that, we learned a lot in large on a short period of time, and so much so it had such an impact on our life, Amir, until Sandy and I, we've been involved organizing in the community in some form or fashion for, as she mentioned, about the last 60 years or so. But I brought that when I came to visit with you and the rest of the organization over there with Iman. And when I witnessed what you all were doing, I was blown away. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it, you know. The how effective you as a leader and just the format and the processes that you all were using in your meeting to engage people and actually get people from the community and people who were having some difficulties in their lives as returning citizens having been incarcerated for a period of time, but who were thinking and were looking at them very serious concerns and issues and coming up with, as you mentioned, Amir, coming up with some very real kind of solutions to problems. I was impressed. I really was. And so I just wanted to share that with the audience, you know, how from that kind of a background that I come from, and then seeing the effect of what you all are doing. You know, so it's one thing for a casual observer to come in and look at it, but somebody that had the experience that I've had and saw how well tuned your organization is and what the potential is there, I would strongly suggest that any of the listening audience knows anyone in their family or anyone in their neighborhood that could benefit from what you're all offering, they should make a beeline to enroll in the programs to come and just support or get involved on some level to donate. Are you all open to donations, by the way, Amira?
Yes, and folks can donate on our the Iman website. I definitely will share that, but we are open to receiving donations.
Okay, awesome. But the work you're doing, I mean, again, it's so needed, and it's actually solving one of the biggest problems in America, probably in the world, and that is getting people to think. You know, and you're being very effective at that. At a time when most African American men are being actually encouraged to dissipate in foolishness, you know, and
yeah.
do things that, yeah.
yeah.
But you're targeting a segment of the population that most people have given up on. And I witnessed these brothers and sisters that were offering some real solutions to problems in our communities and in the society. So I definitely applaud the effort, and again would strongly encourage anyone that's listening to support and to get involved in what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that affirmation. And, you know, between you and Sandy, just the collective, you know, years in support of organizing, certainly, you know, we stand on your shoulders, and the, you all have raised us up with the work that you all have done ahead of us. So I am definitely grateful for the support, the affirmation, and the pathways that have been laid before us to have the know-how and what to do next.
Anytime we can help.
Yeah.
We've got another caller coming on. Madeline, you've got some background noise there.
Yeah, I do.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, Miss Madeline. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in Arizona, and we have a reentry program here. And what I had been apprised to with the reentry program in Arizona doesn't sound like what you are doing, and what you're doing makes so much more sense. Sure, it all works. What they're doing here is they'll connect. Like with myself, they connected me with a young woman who had only been incarcerated for 83 days. And so it's a year commitment for both of us to stay in touch. And most who had been incarcerated are there, you know, it had been incarcerated for longer periods of time. So when they come out, they're totally lost. So they really need to have someone hold their hand to get them reinitiated into society. Traffic alone is insane. You know, it's like you're walking into the supermarket. But to have them have training like that, so they that is just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love it. I would love to bring that into Arizona.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a very needed program around the country, around the world probably, but the key element is that community involvement, you know, where everybody is involved and has a voice in what's going on and can share. We got one more caller. If you're not speaking, would you put your phone on mute for me, please? So we do have some background noise going on. So this next caller is 562-668. Would you give us your name and your contribution to the conversation, please?
Sandy.
Yes.
Peace and blessings, Brother William and Sister Mira. This is Ken Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I want, first of all, just to say how ecstatic I am to know that our young people are involved and engaged with the community. I haven't had the opportunity to come by and visit with the podcast, but I do look forward to it. I've got a couple of questions.
You're kind of fading back and forth.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. One of the things that I've noticed being involved in community affairs, I'm the president of a historic community in the southwest side of Atlanta, and one of the challenges that we face is engaging our youth to get our youth actively involved, and I'd like to know what strategies does Iman employ to engage and encourage youth participation?
Certainly. Thank you for calling, and thank you for the work that you do and for your question. And so I can only speak from my personal experience, but I would say that, you know, one thing that youth would like to have or experience to get engaged is just for folks to meet them where they are, and to give them the space to say, hey, you know, I know that you have skills, I know that you have ideas and talents, and I want to support those within this space, but also let me be of mentor to you. And so, like with these, it's finding that balance. And for me, and how I got myself and my peers involved, was really just to talk to them, you know, from youth to youth, you know, about the issues, about how it affects them, and to do it in a way that's accessible. So, you know, when we have events or things coming up, I text my friends, I might share it on social media, or I'll bring it up in our group spaces when we're, you know, hanging out and spending time with each other. But really, I think it's just having that opening the door and saying, hey, we value your input and you being present in this space. And, you know, with Iman, the work that we do, it's intergenerational. And so that's really important to us, to recognize that we all have something to contribute, whether it's youth or pioneer. So I think extending that hand and meeting them where they are in their journey as well has been beneficial to us.
Beautiful. And do you have community outreach efforts where you work with other organizations invited to come speak at different events with other organizations?
Yes. So within each department, we do community outreach. We do broadband community outreach overall within the organization. And we've worked with youth of various backgrounds and age levels, especially within our arts programming. And so yearly we have a community cafe, which is another community space for artistic expression. And you know, we invite the youth to participate and to lead in those spaces. And so definitely through the arts, as well as, you know, working with some of our community partners who may have a large youth base.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, may you continue to be blessed in your work, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, we have one more caller. Just one second. Opening up the line now for 404-542. You want to give us your name and your contribution to the conversation?
Yes, my name is Arthur McGee, and I am the Green Reentry Case Manager for Iman, and I just want to call in and say I really appreciate you giving us that platform to express the work that we do here in the city of Atlanta and throughout Chicago, and those who are in the United States listening to us, to hear the kind of work and effort that our organization team led by Tariq and Amira that is putting out there, that is organizing and, like, mobilizing people to to want to fight for change. That way we can serve and then we can inspire at the same time.
Well, thank you, Art. We appreciate the work that you're doing sincerely. It is so valuable to our community overall. And I believe we've got one caller, Madeline, that would probably want to get in contact with you. She wants to have it expanded to include Arizona as well. So we'll make sure that she gets your name on that. And so, yeah, we truly, truly appreciate the work that you're doing.
Oh, well, we appreciate you just guys having us allowing a mirror platform. I had got the email, or well, the WhatsApp message, and I said, oh, wow, let me listen in. And then it kept going in and out until I dialed the number, and I said, okay, I'm in now.
Well, good. See? That's wonderful. Thank you, Art.
And just to remind us, yes,
Arthur, I'm so excited, man, at what the potential is, you know. That's looking at it from another level. But I mean, just going forward, my imagination is just reaching out, you know, a few years down the road, as the man continues his work, and you know, giving these young brothers, middle aged brothers that have been incarcerated for a while, giving them the skills that they need. Doing the training and the teaching and the power hour, my imagination is just going out forward in terms of the impact that it's going to have on the Atlanta community and on our national community and global community. You know, with just engaging the minds, giving the skills, and that work of actually positioning them as entrepreneurs. It's only God knows what's in store for us in the future coming. So just my hats off to you, both you, Arthur, and Amira as well, but just to the total organization and the effort.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. And I just want to say out there to those who are listening and those who have loved ones that are directly impacted by the criminal justice system, and whether they're not your loved ones or somebody that you know or some of your family members, because as a youth coming up from the inner city of Philadelphia, and as you were saying, you was excited, it excites me just to think that this is available to the masses of people that are incarcerated, so when they get out, because there's always two things that you need when you return to society, and one is some finance, which is a job, and the other is some housing. And we're on the verge of providing the housing, because we're getting ready to open up our 10-unit affordable housing unit that the guys that was in the cohort prior just graduated. They renovated it, they rehabbed it, and they made something out of nothing, the same way they made something out of nothing, as they said. When they got out, they didn't think they had no kind of chance. So not only giving them a second chance, but giving them the first chance to express who they are with the skill set they have now.
That really opens the door. I mean, that completely opens the door. You know, I can recall some of the leaders in the past. My mind goes to Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad and some of those leaders, and they mention about a time in the future when this kind of thing would be happening.
I've been engaged in this reentry work for a while, and before it was, before it was sexy and the nice thing to do. Now everybody wants to get engaged with reentry, because before it was just like put them away and keep them away.
Yeah.
But now, as time goes on, people are returning to society. The people that you gave 40 years to that have been incarcerated and they survived it for 30 years, they're coming out. And some of these guys are people that live next door to you, related to your friends that you grew up with, and might be the guy that's serving your sandwich in the morning. And we just want to give them the opportunity to be afforded the opportunity as anyone else. Because I had took up Braille, and I remember as being a Braille transcriber, our number one theme was, number one goal was to make sure that the visually impaired has the same opportunity as the visual person has.
Wow.
So now as doing this work, this is a selfless work, and we're going to make sure that the formerly incarcerated or the opportunity youth have the same opportunity that someone who has more prestige as he or her, like a Martha Stewart, like a Michael Vick, like a Bill Campbell. We want to make sure that these guys have the same, afforded the same opportunity that they was afforded when they came out from being incarcerated. And that's why we do this work tirelessly and selflessly.
Are there any...
New York.
The caller, Madeline, I think her name was, Sandy?
Madeline.
Do you know, are there any ongoing or active plans in terms of really expanding and to other states or to other cities that you're aware of?
Not that in our immediate future, but that is always something that we always have our eyes set on, expanding
right.
As far as making it not only national, but because this is global.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I get an email from somebody and they saying that they heard about us some other country, some other Islamic country. I guess somebody must have told them or something, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing is, we're a faith-based organization, and we don't make no apologies for that. And because all it is like coming together and joining what is right and forbidding what is wrong.
Yes.
And it would be the wrong thing to do to turn your back on those who need your help the most.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because as they always say, what would Jesus do? What would Muhammad do? What would Moses do? They would
right.
be doing the same thing we're doing right now, trying to reach out to these young men and women that's returning to society and trying to give them a pathway and access to a better way of living.
Absolutely.
And they're honored, you know, with dignity and the way that they're treated and included and made to feel whole. You know, it's not like something's wrong with them or, you know, they got to earn this and earn that. But from what I've witnessed and been a part of over at your meetings, it's just an incredible work. I mean, the young men are just I don't think there were any women in the program the night that I came. But the young men were
We have some women in the space, but like I always say, and this is one of my favorite lines, I always say, what does an ex-offender look like? You know? So
right.
it's a safe space in there, and you don't know who done did 10 years, 15 years, 26 years.
Okay.
We have people in there that done 26 years. But you would
Thank
never
you
know the until they would actually tell you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
Thank
it's
you
all about recreating yourself and redefining who you want to be in life.
I have a couple
of
people I'm going to refer over to you.
Well, we would love that, and we would welcome it, and just let them know that to use your referral, and we'll get right on it like you get on with for anybody else.
You know, and now in the times that I've been there, you know, what occurred to me was that, of course, you have your programs directed toward ex-offenders, but I'm telling you, anyone in the community. I don't care what their age, you know. They could be a youngster in elementary or middle or high school or in college or young adults or elders. It doesn't matter. They could come there, we could come there, and benefit from the power hour, guaranteed, in terms of the level of thinking that goes on, in terms of the sharing, the contributions that individual can make, the things they can learn, the inspiration that you can get, the motivation that you can get. So Iman is positioned to help a segment the society that needs it in this process of reestablishing themselves. But I'm thinking in terms of the great benefit of just being in that environment for anyone in the community. It may be designed again for that particular person that has that particular set of issues and problems to deal with in their life in terms of getting reestablished. But I mean, who don't need that?
Yeah, you're right.
I've benefited. I've benefited with all my years of experience in organizing. I definitely have benefited every time that I've been there. You know, I've gotten so much out of it. You know, I had an opportunity to contribute some, but I think I got more in terms of what I received than when I gave. So, again, I was.
And that's what it's about. It's about networking and reaching out and sharing the resources that you have. As it says, it takes a village to just raise one child. So you know what it's going to take for us to reshape the thinking of some of these individuals that are coming home. We need all the resources.
Yes.
And what we try to do is we don't try to actually change the person on the outside. We know that it's his thinking that got him there, so we try to change his thinking, and we know that they can't change their thinking with their thinking. So we try to give them some new thinking, and people like you guys that come in there with new ideas, and they incorporate that, and they get some of the stuff that we give them, and they get some of the stuff from the Power Hour, and then they say, man, this life on the other side of the fence ain't too bad at all. And then they start recalibrating themselves and reshaping and redesigning themselves and recreating themselves to be better and productive citizens in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know there's one factor that just came to mind. You know, one of the big voids in the American public in terms of work that needs to be addressed. I don't know if you all have really taken a very close look at it, but you all are serving that need. The African American experience, 400 years of slavery and post-slavery, or you might just call the whole experience one of slavery all the way up till today, that there has not been any serious effort given to the psychological trauma that was caused by this 400-year experience. And a lot of that resulted in so many of our young boys and men, African Americans, ended up behind bars, you know, because of that psychological trauma that has not been resolved. And the work that you're doing is actually directing some attention to that by just holding the hand and providing a healing space, you know, because I mean, where would a young man or older man that has been locked away from society for 10, 20, 30 plus years, where would they get an opportunity to go and sit and talk and share with others who have similar experiences and be in an environment where people are supportive and that love them, that care about them, that's helping them develop skills, helping them develop plans for their future as entrepreneurs, as contributing citizens. It's a big help in terms of some of the social and psychological healing that's needed in the African American people, especially in African American men. So it's more than just them coming out and getting in business. Just coming out and getting some skills. You're doing a great work. That's the point. You're doing a great work in terms of helping some of the real serious healing that needs to be done in America, particularly in the African American community.
Well, we really appreciate it, and I just want to thank you guys for supporting us through the time that we have met you, the time we have been invited. I think me, Amira, and two more of our members, I think it might have been Medea and someone else, that we came out to your house and met you guys' father, who was, 100 years old?
He'll be out in a few months.
Yeah, that was real heartfelt, and I'm always seeing you, Ram, at the Masjid, and it's always informative of what you guys are trying to do and what you always pass on to me. And I'm sure, Sister Sandra, I have ran into you in different spaces also. And
yes,
I just realized that you guys were brothers and sisters, right? When we came over to your house that day. Yeah. So continue to do the work that you guys are doing, and you keep motivating us and pushing us and energizing us to do what we do. And as all we say, I'm the, as they call me, the OG out the bunch. And they just keep me motivated by just learning how to just work my cell phone even better than I know how to work it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. For real. I get you, Art, on that one, because I tell you, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know what this thing is doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate sincerely the work that's being done over there. And Madeline, his name is Art, and you can go on the website. We're going to give that information shortly. And inquire about what it would take to get something started there in Arizona. So, and we appreciate you, Madeline, for your interest in providing a quality program there for the individuals, the returning citizens there. So thank you for your inquiry.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, if we can't be of service to one another, we're doomed.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's not
rocket science. United
right.
we stand and divided we fall, period.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as long as we can hold the space for all peoples, no matter what color we are. So when I was young, I would say, if we were all colored blind, the colors wouldn't matter what color our skin is. What's going on here? This is silly.
Right.
Wow.
We're taught that. We're taught the prejudice and, all the negative behaviors that we have against different people. It's all taught. That was Art that was talking about the Braille. I have provided transportation and worked with visually impaired, primarily the children, for about 10 or more years. And it's just amazing to me that they're only limited by the person's perception of who they are, because they don't let anything stop them, man. You know, it's just like, what handicap? What are you talking about? You know, so when we don't have the use of all the senses. I really think we're better people because we're not blinded, you know, by certain characteristics or, you know, different things that people would have us to say are separators of mankind.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's never worked. The separation has never worked, and it never will.
Not supposed to.
Like I said, we need to be united. We are one.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
You know,
indeed.
Yeah. We're all self and other self.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great point.
So it's a no-brainer when it's recognized that to create the Garden of Eden that I envision humankind to resonate with and be in the Garden of Eden. There's no reason for us not to. The only reason we're not is because we've allowed others to dictate to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the African Americans that are slaves. We're all slaves.
I agree.
We're all slaves.
Yes.
Madden, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We were talking about the incarcerated people, you know, the people who are incarcerated, the ones who are behind the bars, they're incarcerated, but so is the warden and the jailers and, you know, everybody in that industry. It's definitely what it is. They're all behind bars, you know, so it's same kind of a situation. So you're absolutely right. You know, if I oppress you, then I'm being oppressed as I oppress you. You know, at the very same time.
What you do, I mean, it's so clear. What you do to others, you're doing to yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's no way around that. The beauty in all this is the opportunity. You know. I think the Creator has allowed us to create all these problems for ourselves. but it's in
like
these problems.
I just like how you said that, create the problems for ourselves.
But Sandy and I have had a wonderful teacher back in high school in Watts, and Mr. George McKenna. And he used to always say that the solution to any problem is always in the problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the solution to the problem. And so I think we have been allowed to create so much turmoil and so many problems on this planet. But in the problem, there's so much opportunity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So much opportunity for us to experience the garden that you're talking about.
Exactly.
We wake up
in the morning,
yeah,
and we have this fabulous blank canvas. And what are we going to put on the canvas when we go
love
through
it.
The day, moment by moment?
I love it.
You know, what are we creating here?
Yeah.
Are we creating the world that we want to live in, or are we creating more disaster? You know,
that's why I like this work that Iman is doing, because they have been successful at creating an organizational structure where people come and they learn how to create the world that they want for themselves. That's the bottom line. You just described it.
We've got about seven minutes left. Want to give a little time check there. So, good conversation, everybody. Thank you, Madeline and Ken and William and Art and Amira from Amman. So, what I would like to do though is just kind of go back and touch on a couple more activities and projects that Iman have coming up I know we've got this Thursday, and Amira is also going to share with us contact information for the organization. And if we can remind people one more time about that application process for people to be a part of the Green Reentry, and then whatever closing remarks, I just want to make sure that both Art and Amira have time to share any closing thoughts that they would like for us to hang on to regarding their organization.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And I've taken a step back and I've had the opportunity to listen to y'all's reflections, and I affirm them and concur, and I'm grateful to be on this platform to share and discuss and, you know, to move forward and organize together and collaborate. And so some of those spaces in which that can take place is our Grassroots Power Hour. So as I shared earlier on the call, our last Grassroots Power Hour for 2019 is this Thursday, November 14th at 6 p.m. And at Grassroots Power Hour, we try to, and we have consistently have had dinner meals so that, you know, you don't have to worry about food or dinner, just be present in the space. And so that's at 6 p.m. at our Atlanta office, which is located at 1523 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll be reflecting on our past year and organizing. And so even if you haven't come before, I still encourage you to come to Power Hour this Thursday. And we can connect and also talk about what we would like to do and organize for in 2020. Additionally, we also have our, for our folks who are in different cities, we have our end of year dinner in Chicago. And that is Saturday, December 14th. And we'll be, you know, once again, looking back at the work that we've done overall as an organization between Atlanta and Chicago, and just thinking about how we can support our efforts moving forward. You all will get to hear from the, you know, one of the exonerated five, Dr. Yusuf Salam, who we've worked with this past year over our numerous organizing efforts, especially at the Capitol for legislation. And so he'll be speaking not only about his experiences in the documentary, but also how our work in real time is part of the larger movements going on, as Arthur shared, and wanting to be consistent in those efforts. So between our Grassroots Power Hour space and then also with our end of year dinner and any activities between, you can find out more about that information on our Twitter page, which is at Iman Central. Or you can find out more information on our Facebook page, which for Atlanta specifically is at Iman Atlanta. And or our website, and Atlanta has an Instagram as well, which is at Iman Atlanta, I-M-A-N Atlanta. And additionally, if you would like to connect with one of our organizers, definitely you can go on our website, or you can email us at Atlanta@imancentral.org. So that's Atlanta at I-M-A-N Central.org. And so you can find us on our website, Facebook, email. The application for Green Reentry is on our Facebook page as well. And if you'd like to connect with either Arthur or I this evening, you can email Atlanta@imancentral.org or send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. We try to connect back on social media, so we're pretty open. And yeah, that's some of the efforts coming up in 2020. We will be looking forward to continuing our organizing efforts. We know that it's a big year when it comes to legislation with the presidential election. And so we're in it for the long haul. We're not just here for whoever's elected, but we want large scale social change. And so you'll be able to hear a little bit more about our plans for 2020 on Thursday, and just staying connected with us. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Art, Brother Art?
Well, I think she kind of summed it all up far as what we do and the dates that's coming up that we're going to be providing different services, our Power Hour, which is this Thursday. But also, like you said, go on our webpage. As far as those who want to register, they can go on our Facebook page. They also can go on the emancentral.org page. And they can go under the Atlanta chapter where it says Atlanta Green Reentry, and then it has a registration slot there where they can register. Now, we're taking, like, it's from 18 to 25. That's the opportunity youth that we're dealing with. And from 18 to 45 or 25 to 45, beyond 45 on special occasions for our returning citizens. Now, mind you, we don't want to discriminate about how much time an individual done, but we have through studies and, you know, doing this work, we have realized that those who have done 5 years or more are a little bit more serious about taking their lives and turning them around and recreating them. Now, you got some that, you know, they do 2 or 3 years, especially if they're young, you know, half their homeboys is already up there anyway, so they might not be finished yet. But we work with them, too, because some of them give us the opportunity to show that it is a better life than being inside with all those from your neighborhood, and then you can live with outside with your family and those who really love you. Mm-hmm. So that's the web page that you can register on the Facebook page. You can register on the emancentral.org under the Atlanta chapter Green Energy piece. And my email address is Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at emancentral.org.
Gotcha.
And Arthur, you reminded me to share my email as well. I don't know why it slipped my mind, but I.
Hey, look, that's why we're a team, because, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I go into other rooms and forget what I'm coming in there for.
I'll go ahead and share mine. So my email address is AMIRAH. So Amira. My first name at emancentral.org.
I went on Facebook while we were doing the show and getting into Imam Atlanta for the application process is really easy. Very, very easy. So I got straight in, and I just want to let you guys know, don't be intimidated, and make sure to share that. So we're at
the
end.
Right. That's like, that's like, sound like trouble, right? When they get in trouble, it's easy to get into trouble, but it's hard to change it around sometimes, right?
Right.
So we made that just as easy so they wouldn't have no problem making no kind of excuses why they didn't register.
And, you know, it's always good, just like you were talking about earlier with the phone, you know, like I always want to go on. If I can get on, anybody can get on. So
exactly.
It was a very easy process. So I appreciate that, you know, just as well, because, you know, as you guys have learned and as I've become accustomed to this now, is that, you know, we don't pay a lot of attention that when individuals are locked up, you know, they don't have access to all the different changes in social media. And so the easier that we can make something and the more streamlined that we can make it, the better for them. So I appreciate you guys. And we are out of time, and I just love you so much. Continue doing the incredible work that you're doing over there. I will be back, and now I got a little breather, 2020. But so many blessings to you guys. And Amira, thank you so much for being with us. Arthur, thank you for joining the conversation, and thanks to everyone.
Pleasure.
William, thanks for being the co-host, and I'll see you guys next week. That is it for us.
Awesome.
Madeline and Kim, we thank you for lending your voice to the conversation as well. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Take care.